Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Tool Shed. Don't worry, we're not transferring anywhere. It's me, Logan Carney, here as always with Matt Curtick and Luke Yost, but we were joined with a special guest, the sports writer, Mike Scholey, in this edition of the Tool Shed as we break down what has happened at the end of the NCAA playoffs, and we'll talk about the latest RMU news. You already heard me, you know, hint at it, put a little joke out there.
It was a funny joke.
It was very funny.
It was good.
I thought it was good.
Don't worry, guys. We're not transferring anywhere.
Should you stand up?
So, first, let's start things off. Mike, thank you for joining us out of your busy schedule, taking the time to join us here in the Tool Shed.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be on the Tool Shed here.
So, why don't we start with the game from last night? We'll start with that. And then we'll get into the depressing RMU news a little bit later.
Is it ever, like, happy news?
Oh, it's happy.
With RMU, not lately.
It was happy at the beginning of the year when they were, like, number one in
to
the
like,
section.
To, like, the halfway point.
And then it all...
It was happy when we beat Kentucky 5 years ago.
Then the wheels...
Don't get me started on Kentucky.
Then the wheels fell
never
off
recovered.
The wagon.
Be sure to check out last episode, week's episode, as apparently as Matt Curtick and Luke Yost, the only two people in the entire world that still think we should be talking about the Kentucky game.
We have to talk about the Kentucky game.
Moving on. So, guys, we all know that our brackets did not do that great
busted.
This year.
Busted. First round, busted.
Exactly.
Just kidding. It was like the second round.
What were your thoughts on, you know, Villanova winning it? Have you been surprised by the outcome? Matt, I'll start with you.
I am not surprised by the outcome. Villanova was by far the best team in basketball this year. I hate that they're from Philly and won, because now Philly thinks they're a sports town, and that's unfortunate. But, I mean, Villanova was the best team this year, regardless of whether or not you had whatever upsets you had going on. So many people still had Villanova winning the entire thing.
What about you, Luke? What are your thoughts on the NCAA tournament?
I picked Michigan to win it all, so I was feeling really good about myself until I watched the first 10 minutes of the Villanova-Kansas game, and Villanova just went out there and destroyed them, so I was a little concerned. And then once the tip-off happened last night, yeah, there was no doubt that Villanova was going to win.
There was no doubt from the tip-off?
Yeah.
Because it was close at half.
But, yeah, no.
It was only a 9-point lead at half.
It's still a 9-point lead.
Michigan scored first.
Villanova was way too good.
So even though Michigan got on the board first, you still said there was no doubt from the moment the ball was tipped.
No doubt. Yeah, something in my water. Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, so we're at the postseason.
Well, all of our regular listeners out there, you can totally tell how much we're really trying on this episode. But
it's the off season. This is like the time that like you just finished the season. You're not like back into training yet. You're just kind of like living.
So you're off.
I think that's
Luke.
Super off. I think that's how you live your entire life.
That is how I live my entire life.
Yost, is that the way you're saying you're transferring away from the team?
I am. I'm leaving. Be attending. Not this show. I'll move over to Off the Pipes.
Nice. That's a quality show.
Shuli, what were the thoughts from you in the tournament? I know you didn't do a bracket poll per se, but what were the thoughts on you know how you saw the tournament this year?
I mean, it's always good to see the little guys when we had a bunch of nice storylines with UMBC, of course, and good old Loyola Chicago with Sister Jean. However, the carriage turned back into a pumpkin there real quick against Michigan. The clock struck midnight, but I think when you saw a number one seed in Villanova really take it to another one seed in Kansas, and you know what? At the end of the day, it kind of stinks that you have like 2-1 seeds in the Final Four. Then what was the other ones? A 3 and an 11.
Yeah.
So that's nice to see a little bit of variety, but like. I just don't want men's basketball to become kind of like women's college basketball, where it's like all one seeds and they just run ravaged throughout the tournament. We saw what happened to our pals up at St. Francis here against the UConn women's team, getting absolutely hammered. But Villanova, that was a solid team. That was a very good team.
They're one of those teams
too.
Their
bench was good.
They don't get one and done guys. They're a team they respect because they did, you know, Jay Wright develops all of his players. They have a clean program up there, and they play the old Big East style of, you know, hard defense and, you know, great, you know, shooting, 3-point shooting, and it's just a phenomenal team to watch.
I agree.
And like the thing with that is you might not have like your top NBA prospects on that team, which just shows that they're a really fundamentally sound, good college basketball team. And that's why for me, I personally like college basketball more than I like the NBA, because it's more hard-nosed, more skill, more pure basketball, I feel.
Yeah, what we see out of Villanova is what we saw out of Pitt the entire time that they were good in basketball. Unfortunately,
Pitt's not
like that.
Except for a championship.
Unfortunately, we don't see that anymore with Pitt, but it's nice watching Villanova play that style of basketball that I watched growing up.
And I honestly would love to see a Big East comeback where it's that real, like, back to its prime, where it was real hard-nosed, physical
blue-collar
game.
Basketball.
Exactly, and they could just, you know, if a Big East team was in the game, and they were a decent team, of course, it was going to be a competitive game no matter who they were going up against, whether it was a top team like Duke out of the ACC.
The Big East tournament was more fun to watch than the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
every team
was awesome.
Every team in that tournament back then was very good.
Flashes of Kemba Walker just dropping Gary McGee.
Yeah, that one was
like he was demolishing a building. All you see is Gary
McGee move. Let's move along from the hurtful memories that I have as a Pitt fan growing up. Because of course,
Cardiac Kemba.
We don't need to bring in Scotty Reynolds into this conversation. So we're just gonna move along here. And now
Elite Eight.
We had some.
LeVance almost made that shot at the end. Oh man,
should have made that shot.
We had some bad news this past week with RMU Sports. It's news that we kind of expected, unfortunately, to say. But Matt, why don't you share with us or share with the audience at home at which players decided that, you know, requested their release?
Give a eulogy.
So we have two. One who is a bigger deal than the other, but both are a big deal respectively. LeAndre Washington, who was a freshman from New York City, he decided to transfer. He kind of had some
off the court issues
with Coach Andy Toole. Yeah. So he didn't show up to the last couple games of the regular season, didn't show up to the conference tournament. So you figured he was going to leave. But unfortunately, Deshaun Burke, our leading scorer, our best player on our team, sophomore, did request a transfer. Led our team with 17.6 points this past season, started in every game, and you know it's a shame that he's not going to be around next year.
Did you get a chance to read the statements that were given out about their transfers?
I did not.
So I write for both RMU Central Media and another publication, DYST Pittsburgh, and you know I had to cover those two, you know, stories for both. So I sent emails to the basketball team to confirm that they did request their release. And we do want to say that they requested their release and granted their release. That doesn't mean that they are officially transferring, although it's certainly going to be them transferring.
Yes.
So Deshaun Burke's statement was essentially just that, yes, Deshaun Burke, when I emailed them, it was just, yes, Deshaun Burke has requested his release from the team. Listen to LeAndre Washington's statement. He, as in Washington, quit the team at the end of the year and wanted to come back, but it was decided in the best interest of the program for him to transfer.
Yeah, that made sense.
Is it not like one of the great, the one of the just subtle, passive aggressive things you've ever seen? He quit the team, wanted to come back, but we just got rid of him.
Can we just chalk this one up to a messy divorce?
Yeah, pretty much.
Practically what it is.
I'm talking RMU stuffed his suitcase and tossed it out the window and said, be free.
Go away.
Be free, LeAndre.
Not back
be
in
free.
This house.
LeAndre, now, Washington's not the as big as a loss as Burke is, because you know Washington was still...
I think Washington could become a good player.
He's a good player.
He could be a very quality point guard in the NEC, I feel.
I think that he has a style of play that doesn't really match what Andy Toole has going here at RMU.
Which is what I think it is, because you have to question his ability for teamwork, too. Yeah. Especially since he quit from the team. And I don't know if you guys knew this, but he actually also transferred high schools for basketball reasons in high school. He transferred away. After one season of playing at a private school, he transferred back to a public school.
But that could be for that could be more of a career move opposed to not fitting in well with a team.
Well, he transferred from a public school to a private school back to that public school.
Ooh. Yeah. I don't know about that then.
Yeah, that does raise a couple
That's
eyebrows.
From what I read.
And I wonder if Andy Toole kind of knew that going into the season that he might have some trouble with him. But if he does have a lot of upside to the point where if you maybe can get through to him, you can figure out.
Oh, he's a good player. He's a great player. He is. He's, I mean, freshman, he averaged 8.4 points per game, which, you know, doesn't jump out. But he had a stretch in the middle of conference season where I believe it was 6 or 7 games in a row he scored at least 10 points in the middle of conference. And he had a 20-point game, too, against Wagner, who won the NEC.
And I believe it was that Wagner game where he just caught fire from beyond the arc and was just draining threes all night.
Yeah, he had a really good game there.
But honestly, I feel as a guy like Toole, or as a recruiter, you know, we've seen this before. This is not the first time that we've had some key players transfer out of the program at Robert Morris. But I feel that as a coach or even a team member, you can kind of identify on the team who are those guys that, you know, I wouldn't say self-centered is the best word, but, you know, there's that thing about them where, especially at this sense, where you could kind of look at him and be like, if this would be the guy that would up and leave, it might be that guy.
Yeah, and like you said, a lot of players. We have probably about 10 players in the last few seasons since our run in the NCAA tournament that have transferred, and I'll read off a couple names for us. Marquise Reed, who was Clemson's leading scorer this past season. Rodney Pryor, after his senior year, I put senior year in quotations because he still had one more year of eligibility, transferred to Georgetown. Elijah Minney transferred to Eastern Michigan, who actually didn't sign an agent but declared for the NBA draft.
That's big. Number one overall pick, I'm sure.
He still would be able to go back to college if he isn't drafted because he didn't hire an agent.
Isaiah Still was one.
Then we had Braden Burke. He transferred to Michigan State to be a walk-on. We're not going to talk about that, though. Joe Uglie, the guy that goes to Central Connecticut State? Is that how you pronounce his name?
I believe so.
Which one was the guy that was on you? Was he on UMBC?
Yeah, Jarius Lyles. He was here for one semester. Nice. He was, if anyone.
One semester? How does that
so
work?
Was Wale.
Well, he transferred to Robert Morris and then transferred to UMBC.
Yeah.
Just to specify, he never actually played a game as a Colonial.
But he was an RMU student.
So he was a late season transfer.
Yeah.
No, he transferred at the end of his first year. For the fall, but okay. While he was waiting out that season, he transferred to UMBC.
Now, the thing with if you guys don't know Jarius Lyles, if you guys had watched the tournament when UMBC upset Virginia, like we talked about earlier, he was by far their best player in those couple games. And then another one is Corin Williams. He transferred to Wake Forest after the 2013 season. So a lot of players in the last few years that have moved on from Robert Morris.
So this brings me to my next question. You know, we can get into breaking down the loss of Burke a little bit later because he was obviously the team's best player on the team, and you know now he's gone, and that is a major loss for Robert Morris. But my question is, you know, one, is this a Toole issue or an NCAA issue with minor schools, or two, are these the players that Toole wants as they're kind of the small schools, one-and-done type players?
I think this is an NBA and an NCAA problem. Because you see, like, it's not just guys that are transferring from small schools. You have guys, Wichita State had a player that transferred from, like, Virginia to play his graduate season in Wichita State. So, like, this is something that, like, it's not just all mid-major schools that have this problem, but a lot of the bigger schools have this problem, too. And then we talked about it earlier that Robert Morris was like the third youngest team in the country behind Duke and was it Kentucky? But all those guys are going one and done to the league. Like we don't have that issue.
But you don't think that Andy Toole goes to these guys, hey, you can come here for a year and then you can go to one of these bigger programs. You can go to a Clemson. You know, you can go to a bigger program like that if you just stay here for a year. You don't think that's
his
selling point?
I don't think he says that, but I think that's kind of like an assumption. It's kind of like, well, you're going to, like, get a little bit of a college experience here and play some out-of-conference big teams, get yourself a little bit of exposure, and then at the end of the year you can transfer.
I think that Andy Toole, it's a little bit of both. Sometimes I think that, like, players like Leandre Washington is an Andy Toole issue when they're transferring.
But, well, it might be the player issue too. But when it comes to like Deshaun Burke and Isaiah Still and Marquise Reed's a great example. It's these players that Andy Toole's recruiting and Kobe Thomas that probably don't have any business playing in the NEC, but because either they were overlooked in recruiting or maybe their grades weren't good enough or they were small their senior year, they you know, weren't bigger set yet, that Andy Toole's able to recruit these guys. And I think he knows deep down, like, okay, we're going to have Deshaun Burke. He's a really good player. We're going to have him for a couple years. We'll do the best that we can, but it's inevitable that he's going to get out of here if his.
So you're saying it's more of a Toole issue than an NCAA issue?
I mean, it's an NCAA issue, because the NCAA is set up in a way that you're allowed to just, I mean, you have to sit out a year, but you're just allowed to move at free will if you want to.
Well, on that point of sitting out a year, I would think that if I'm one of these guys and I'm getting into a school like RMU, unless I have the opportunity to make a big jump, that I don't think it's beneficial to my career in trying to advance myself, sitting out a year to transfer. Like in Leandre Washington's case, I feel it has to do with more with the team because I don't think he's going to go to a school that's bigger than RMU. He'll probably, I feel that's a equal move. He'll move laterally instead of up and down the chart here. But I think sitting out a year really is not beneficial to their careers. I think those guys would want to be out on the court playing, showing their worth, and so I kind of could see that it could possibly be a Toole thing. Yes, NBA or the NCAA, it could be seen as a stepping stone to further their career to a better school. But I think for a guy like Leandre Washington, where he didn't gel with the team and the coaching staff possibly, and that's a reason why he feels that to further better his career, it's more beneficial for him than to tough it out, to sit out a year and move to a new school than to tough
it
out.
And he'll still get 2 years out of the new school. Like, he'll still have a sophomore year.
Well, he'll still have 3 years of eligibility left. He'll still have 3 years of eligibility. Even if, as I said, he takes a year and he gets stronger, he learns a game plan better, he matures. I mean,
and you know what? That could be something big, important for a guy like Leandre Washington, who's a guy that's smaller in stature. He's listed on the website as 6 foot tall, 175 pounds.
But he's not the hair.
He is not. Maybe with the hair, he's 6 foot tall.
See, yeah. I'm going to disagree with you. Well, I'm going to agree with Luke and disagree with you too. I don't think that this is a issue with Toole. I mean, obviously, Toole has been affected by this a lot, but this is definitely a mid-major issue. I don't think it's a major issue. Look at some of these numbers. So in 2012, 28 players from mid-major schools jump to one of the Power Six conferences through transfer.
Whenever you say in Power 20, Six, are you including the Big East?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So this number does not include somebody transferring from, say, you know, Mississippi State to Kansas. You know, that's not including something like that.
And that happens a lot.
Yeah, but that's not including this. You know how many there were in 20 before the start of next season, the latest numbers I can find?
What?
91.
Yeah, I think
so. It quadrupled in a 4 year span. That number quadrupled. This is a big mid major issue. I mean, you look at some of these guys. You know, think about, you know, Seth Curry, not Steph Curry. Seth Curry,
yeah.
His brother transferred to Duke. Yeah, and Luke Hancock, a big player that comes up in this that I found, transferred from George Mason to Miami, George Mason to Louisville. That's what it was. When he was the MVP of the 2013 championship. And then you look at guys, you know, I'm trying to think of something more on the top of my head, but it seems like, you know, you're not going to find more of these Steph Currys at Dayton, cuz that's not the big selling point for them.
Well,
these great players at these smaller schools, cuz they're just going to transfer out cuz they know that they can take advantage of this.
See, I feel it's in this scenario that we're talking about right now, it's a culmination of both. I think for Deshaun Burke, this was a move up the ladder for him. I've heard a lot of rumors about him going possibly to like an A-10 school, so that's obviously an upgrade. But for a guy like Leandre Washington, and maybe because I haven't been around long enough to see where some of these other guys have gone, you have to really look. Well, why are these players moving? Are they moving up in the world, or are they staying at the same level?
Is Leandre Washington a team? Is that a Toole issue? Because if you read, you know, reading the statement, you know, It sounds like, you know, like the statement says, is he quit on the team, tried to come back, and we said no.
Well,
is that a toll issue?
I think it's a toll issue because that's what started the entire thing with Leandre in the first place.
Was
because
Leandre quit on the team, though.
It's either a toll issue or a coach. Because
it can't be a Leandre issue.
I mean, it's a Leandre issue because he's the one doing it, but he had to have disagreed with somebody on the coaching staff for him not to show up.
What I'm saying is, I feel the coach issue because the coach is your representation of the team, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel for Leandre to come here. And, you know, he might not have gelled with guys in the locker room. I don't know that. He might not have liked Tool. But I feel because Tool is the head coach, he represents Robert Morris basketball. That's the face, you know, that subsequently it is a Tool issue because he's the guy. He's the coach. If he can't retain the players that he's bringing in and promising and convincing them to come to Robert Morris University – no one forced Leandre Washington to come here. He came here on his own will. I think that's why I feel it's a Tool problem. But for the case in its entirety in the NCAA, I feel it's kind of – it could possibly be like a blended case of both coaches and moving up in the world.
For me, the Leandre Washington transfer makes a lot more sense to me than the Deshaun Burke one. And I'll tell you why. Leandre's transferring because he just didn't mesh well here. And why would you keep staying here for a few years if you know that over the next couple of years you're probably going to have some more disagreements and fights with coaches or players? It made sense to leave. I don't think he's leaving because he doesn't want to play at RMU. I think it just didn't work out for him. But the Deshaun Burke one for me doesn't make any sense because if Deshaun Burke's going to an A-10 school, let's say he goes to Rhode Island or Duquesne. Well, Duquesne's an A-10 school. Is Deshaun Burke going to go to the NBA? No, right?
But
we don't think that.
Here's the thing.
Do we think that he's going to
Rhode
go to
Island
the NBA?
Has the 28th Logan, best you, recruiting class in
Logan,
the country.
Do you think that if Deshaun Burke goes to an A-10 school,
here's
he's going to go to
I don't
the
think,
NBA?
I think he has a much better chance of going to the NBA from an A-10 school than
he
does.
He has a better chance.
And that's the thing. It's a better move for his career to put himself on a bigger platform.
And that's the issue. There are guys, you know, reading this Sports Illustrated. I don't know if you guys read this article they posted at the beginning of last season. Phenomenal article about all of this. UNC Asheville lost players to Marquette, Louisville, and Arizona. Players from Maine lost players to VCU, Colorado State, and Rider. Are those bigger programs than Maine, but are they going to get into the NBA from those schools? Most likely no, because those aren't major programs. VCU is somewhat big, but that's also an A-10 school.
We'll see.
You know, the A-10 is a much bigger conference than the NEC. It's not – the A-10's right on that border where they're just outside. You know, I don't like to say Power 6. I like to say Power 7 because I like to include American Athletic when it comes to basketball. Right, and I think they're right outside that top seven, where they're slightly worse than say that. I mean, they had Rhode Island, who ranked team this year, phenomenal team, and it has the 28th best recruiting class in the country. Granted, they had a phenomenal coach, but they still have the 28th best recruiting class in A-10 school. So there is a strong chance, and you know we've seen guys before. You know we've seen Steph Curry do it from Dayton, and obviously Davidson. And obviously, he's no Steph Curry, but you know it's possible. I definitely wouldn't say it's impossible for him to do it.
See, Martise Reed going to Clemson makes a lot of sense to me because he's going to the ACC. He's going to play ACC basketball, get a lot of coverage on ESPN and whatever stations that are playing Clemson basketball. And if he actually wants to go to the NBA, that makes a lot of sense for me.
But it's not even just the NBA.
Here's my thing.
What about playing overseas?
But they're
not going to play overseas from Robert Morris.
Matt, let me ask you this question, all right? Is the A-10 an upgrade over the NEC?
I think, yes, it is. But
No. If those are if that's your only option, because you got to think about it. I think about it like a ladder. If you're on the bottom rung and you see a chance to move up and get you – so you're obviously your big schools, your ACC schools, we'll put those at the top of the ladder. You know, your Dukes. All right. If you have a chance to get a little bit closer, move up that ladder a little bit, maybe get a little bit more recognition, because I'm sure for some of these guys, the NBA is their goal, you know, to continue to play basketball, whether it's overseas or something. I feel if I'm a player, I'm seeing, well, the NEC, we're kind of the bottom rung of the ladder here. While we might not be able to move all the way up to the top tier, I could kind of fit into that middle and no man's land, and maybe if I could perform well and show that I'm a top-tier player there and I could, you know, be a good player at an A-10 school that's kind of in the middle of the pack, but still display my skills that I'm better once we go up head-to-head out of conference against players from bigger conferences, and that I could hold my own against
them.
Like
in the tournament, yeah.
Yeah, it shows that you could be a good solid basketball player at every level of competition.
See, I think Deshaun Burke goes to an A-10 school and becomes a rotational player. He's not playing
but
as
we're
much.
Not even we're assuming he goes to an A-10 school. We don't even know who's offering.
General,
what if a big conference is offering?
Well, that's different. I'm talking this strictly out of if he goes just a little bit up the ladder, because I think if he would stay all 4 years at a school like RMU, he would probably break the scoring record based on how he's playing so far. He would probably get some recognition for that. He would be playing every game for the next 2 or 3 years, and I mean, if we legitimately don't think he's going to the NBA, you can still go play overseas from a school like RMU. And I think that by playing the next couple years and being very, very good here, that he has a better shot than going to a school and being a rotational player.
So we're going to move on to a little bit of a topic. You all heard our 2 cents on it, but we're going to talk more about Deshaun Burke, because we didn't really get to talk about this, you know, earlier. But just the overall loss of how big of a loss this Deshaun Burke. I mean, yeah, we're talking about where he's going to go, but how big of a loss is it truly for Robert Morris? Now they have to replace, you know, their leading scorer, their best all-around player, their second-best defender behind, you know, arguably McConnell, arguably Kobe Thomas, one of those guys. You know, their second or third, but top one of their defenders. You know, they're losing one of these guys. And can Robert Morris afford to lose any more players, whether somebody like Kobe Thomas transfers out? Do you think, looking at this team now, if it stays how it is, do you think that they are a favorite to win the NEC? Just all those questions. Let's start with you, Matt.
I mean, Deshaun Burke played here for 2 years, and he was a really good player, but he didn't win us an NEC title. So he leaves, and I'm annoyed that he does that. So I think we have a big void to fill, but I like that we have Josh Williams that is here, John Williams' brother, who will be playing next year, and I think that he can take over Deshaun Burke's role.
So you still think the team going into next year, do you think that they should be a favorite to NEC? You think they're middle of the pack? Where do you see them?
I still put them at, like, the middle of the pack.
All right, what about you, Matt? Mike, my apologies.
Well, anytime you lose your best player, it's a problem, you know? And, yes, we do have Kobe Thomas, the good old NEC Rookie of the Year, but I think the thing with Burke is, on the scoring front of things, he's a multi-dimensional scorer. You know, he can score with his jump shot. He can drive to the basket, whereas Kobe Thomas he's fairly one-dimensional, you know, and I think what this team really lacks is, I'm not saying that Burke was necessarily this guy, but really a good playmaker. You know, the assist numbers, if you look at them game by game, they were pretty low. Everyone would grab like a handful or a couple of assists a game, but I think that's where a loss of like someone like Washington that could have developed into that. So depending on what kind of freshmen come in, it depends. Because if we get a guy that can really – and one of the big problems with this team is shooting, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, because McConnell, the sharpshooter, isn't a sharpshooter
anymore.
Kobe Thomas can't shoot.
Wasn't a stretch
forward. He is not a
shooter.
We
talked about a couple shows ago. We needed Kobe Thomas to be a stretch forward, make it to the conference, and yeah, it didn't happen.
No, that did not happen this year.
And I feel that that's the issue, is how many multi-dimensional scorers do we have on this team now? And I think you lose your only one, in my eyes, with Deshaun Burke.
Who knows who Andy Toole brings in next year as a freshman, who will play 1 year and leave.
Luke, we have about 1 minute left. Why don't you give your 2 cents on the topic?
My 2 cents is real quick and easy. Don't sleep on the Williams brothers. I think we talked about it after we had him on Colonial Sports Center that one night, and we like he there was a feel in that room. Like he's really excited.
I've heard
to do
that
it.
Josh Williams is
and,
gonna
yeah, I've
be
heard Josh
one
Williams
heck of a player.
He's a good player.
He's a good player.
So you guys all think that somebody needs to step up.
I feel like Josh Williams is the guy. Like, you can't replace Deshaun Burke.
I've also heard murmurs of Malik Pettaway returning, so I feel that could.
He's been up in the rec center, getting up a lot of shots
so
and practicing.
Hopefully, it would be real tough to see that guy. Of course, have to sit out the rest of his career with what was it?
Whatever injury.
Whatever
he had.
Late
lower body injury.
Lower body
we're not
injury.
Lower
yes.
body
injury
is what they said.
Injury.
That's what we have to talk about. Thank you, Mike, for joining us on our last episode of the year.
I think I took the mic away from Yost a little bit today.
No, I don't really talk about that. I just let those two go at it.
Me and Logan argue a lot. That's kind of how we do it.
Oh, right. I argue with Logan my fair share.
Everybody argues with Logan.
Well, guys, thank you for being on the podcast with me this year. The Toll Shed, it seems like this might be our last episode. Maybe if there's more transfer players out, maybe we'll do one next week. But
possibly look out for a Toll Shed web show next year, maybe?
Spoiler alert, Toll Shed will next year going to become a web show. Yeah, so you'll be able to see our beautiful
faces.
That's
all you need to do is see sweatpants? Me, Logan, and Lute's face.
Can I still wear sweatpants?
You're not even wearing sweatpants now.
You know, I told Luke. I've always told Luke that, you know, you have a face for radio, but we're going to upgrade you to the web show.
Thank you. He's not lying.
So for the last time of this school year, thank you all for joining us. Thank you all for following with us this entire year. We'll be back next year, if not maybe next week, but most likely next year with a web show. More Toll Shed coming up next year. So everyone, you know, it's still it's a month away, but have a good summer.
And remember, if you hear RMU at all about basketball, that's not good. You don't want to hear about RMU in the next couple months with transferring happening.
Well, probably be or the Kentucky game. Not good. It's a chances are
Logan, you stole my thunder because I was going to send us out with a reminder that RMU did beat Kentucky.
They did. They did 5 years ago.
Never forget.
All right, everybody, thank you for joining us and have a good night.